When the Spirit of God moves, great things happen. And remember, church, what we used to say in the past, we still say it today. When the Holy Spirit moves, don't be afraid, because He's not spooky. The Holy Spirit comes to lead us to Him and to touch our lives. Amen? Praise God. So, once again, I want to welcome every one of you here at the New Hope Christian Assembly. It's nice to see you here with us. It's your first time you're with us. Welcome. I just pray that you will enjoy the presence of God and praise and worship, and also the time of the Word of God and the fellowship of one another. Also, you can enjoy the heat wave in this place. So I really enjoy just welcoming that. I enjoy it, okay? Because I'm going to see a lot of things going like this when I'm going to be preaching today, huh? But once in a while, do it this way, so that I can get some of the air too. Amen? So, great, praise God. So this morning, first of all, Pastor Gordon and his wife is here with us, and a sister from Montreal, welcome. And we're just so happy that you're with us this morning with us. So church, let us welcome Pastor Gordon and the family. Praise God. Thank you. I met Pastor Gordon not too long ago. When I've come here, and I just connected with my cousin, and he was one of the few pastors that I actually met in Edmonton, Alberta. So, and I appreciate the fact that you took the time with me and spent time with me, and I heard good things about you. So may the Lord bless you. And we're going to continue chatting, brother. I was about to come and see you this week, by the way, but you're here with us. So praise God. You made me save a trip, but I'll still come. I'll still come. Praise God. So many of you maybe have missed a couple of weeks just because of vacation, and some of you are maybe going on vacation, and I know you'll be leaving next week, so maybe even less people, and the week after will be less people because people are going on vacation. And then in the month of August, I should be going on vacation for 6 months, so we're going to see after that. Because I'm going to get back to everything you guys are going. But God is good. So a few of you have missed some of the messages of the last, I just encourage you to go on our website. They're there, posted. We're in the series on what? The ministry of Jesus. And the first message we spoke about, spiritual warfare. This is something that many churches don't want to speak about. And then we speak about deliverance. We spoke about deliverance last week. And today, the ministry of Jesus is deliverance. And this week, we want to speak about the ministry of Jesus and the healing aspect of it. So we're going to look at the healing aspect of the ministry of Jesus. And we do believe that even today, as we live in this earth, we have seen God move in miraculous ways, and things fall off the wall. And but God still moves, and God still heals. His ability is there, and He's still active today as we speak. But we want to go through God's Word this morning. See, the Bible begins with the picture of a kingdom, that there's God's people living in this paradise place where in Genesis we see under God's rules, and Adam and Eve were created by God, walking in the presence of God and experiencing the fullness of God and reflecting the image of God. Adam and Eve lacked nothing. They had everything they needed. They needed nothing emotionally, physically, and spiritually. They were whole and they were healthy at that time there. But when sin has entered into the picture, as we see in Genesis chapter 3, when sin has entered, it has entered into this picture, it has affected every single thing on earth. So it has affected the animals, it has affected the earth, and it has affected human mankind. Sin made everything bad. And that's what I've done. Where there was wholeness, now there is corruption. Where there was brokenness, where there was wholeness, now brokenness came in. There was a good time. Paradise before Adam and Eve sinned, it was a great place to be. But when sin had came in, everything was corrupted and thing was going not the same way, the way God has intended to be. Physical body was affected. There was pain. There was death that existed after sin has happened. Spiritual then was affected, and they moved outside of the garden without God's presence. Sin makes everything broken, and I want that to sink that in our mind. Sin makes everything broken. You cannot get away from that. It broken the world from the beginning in time. It will break your life today. Sin kills lives and kills everything. But at the end of the Bible, you see another kingdom. In Revelation 21, you see another kingdom that he will wipe away every tear. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more death. Death will not exist. So we look at the beginning of Genesis. Before sin, everything was whole. Everything was complete. And then when sin has come, corruption came. It was brokenness came. All of a sudden, we can go in Revelation chapter 21. We see that when we die on this earth, we're going to have life with Him. No more pain, no more suffering. But the question is this. The brokenness is still exists today. The brokenness still exists as we walk today. When there was no sin, there was no brokenness. When sin has kicked in, brokenness is there. There's brokenness in the things of God. There's brokenness in the church. There's hearts that are broken. There are families that are broken because sin has come in and destroyed. But how are we going to fight this? How are we going to run this race until the end time? How are we going to run until Revelation comes? And I can't wait for that day that there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more cane, no more bills, no more pills. No more nothing, because we're going to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that exciting when you know? And I long for that. I long for that day. Well, I don't want to go now, but I want to know when God wants me to go. And if it is today, I can tell you one thing. I won't have any pain anymore. You can continue having pain and the brokenness, but I'm going to be with my Lord. I'm going to be with God. And thank God for that promise. But there was something. There was life before sin. Now there's death. So we now, after in this world, now we die. To go back to heaven, we have to accept Christ, our personal Savior, to have life again. But what happens? You know, when I look around the churches today, and I look around in this church where God has allowed me to shepherd to, the brokenness is from every chair in this place. Every heart has a heart that is broken. And you might say, wow, everything is good. It's false. Don't even believe the lie of the devil. Because every heart is broken. And thank God for the word that He tells us. He what to the brokenhearted? He helps the brokenhearted. Thank God for that. So today we're going to look at a couple of things to encourage us through the Gospels as we're going to continue the ministry of Jesus. And remember, we said the kingdom of God has what? Has come to you. When we deliverance of the unclean spirit, it says in chapter 11, verse 20 of Luke, that if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Now in the same contents, the kingdom has come to you when we pray for someone and is delivered by the power of God and the enemy is not there no longer, is no more oppressed, the kingdom of God has walked on this earth. Now it's the same thing when God will manifest himself, when God heals a heart, the kingdom of God has come on this earth. Now the people will see the kingdom of God is when you and I will do the greater things what God has given, what's told us to do. He will give us the authority. He will give us the power to go out and lay our hands on people's lives and set captives free in Jesus' name. And when God is going to be working on the people's lives, now the kingdom of God is actually walking on this earth. But if you and I will keep our mouth shut and we'll just warm up a pew, nothing is going to happen. We need to pray, church. We need to get up, church. And we need to do the greater things what God has called us to do. That's what He called us to do. Jesus has walked on this earth. And when He died, when He went to His Father, the Holy Spirit came on our lives to do the greater things. Not to perform better things than Him, but the greater things. We are called kingdom advanced people. We need to continue doing what we're called to do, what God has called us to do. The healing ministry of Jesus is a foretaste of God's kingdom. When God heals, whether it's physical, Whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual healing, it is a sign of God's kingdom coming. And the kingdom of God is also seen in the complete restoration of a whole man. Every place that Jesus went, when he touched someone, every word that he spoke, he gives us a picture of kingdom of God. We see the ministry of Jesus in a small foretaste of God's kingdom. What Jesus does, he gone place to place, bringing picture of kingdom on earth by making them whole and healthy. And this is exactly done by the anointing of God. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recover the sight of blind and to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Right here we see the wholeness of his ministry. God, who cares about the whole man, sends Jesus to manifest his manifestation by showing that he cares about your physical body, but not only your physical body, he cares about your emotional life, he cares about your spiritual life. That's what he cares about, the whole person, the whole man itself. When Jesus touched lives, he makes them new. I have a hard time understanding when you say someone says that God has touched me and it's the same person. When God touches, he makes things new. When God touches a life, he transforms that life. For once we were blind, but today we see. For once I was lost, but today I am found. When Jesus places his hand on someone's life, things happen. We change. We change. The complete restoration of our life. Healing is the kingdom work. Healing is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. There was no need for healing in his kingdom in the beginning, before man's sin. There was no need for healing at the end of the kingdom. At the end of the new kingdom, we're going to be with Christ. There's no need, but there is wholeness, because there's wholeness and completeness and health at those two places. And today, as a kingdom comes on earth, it brings physical, emotional, and brokenness. Kingdom ministry, and Jesus demonstrated all over his life, even today. And today, I want to look at some scriptures. I want to look at the story, because we're looking at the Gospel of Luke today. We're going to look at Luke chapter 5. We're going to continue reading verses 12 to 26 this morning. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 26. It's all stand of God's reading this morning. We're going to read it. We're going to ask God to bless our hearts. Let be no distraction in this place, but our hearts be tuned before you this morning. May the Lord add another blessing of his word to our hearts this morning as we read it together. While he was in one of the towns, a man was there who had a serious skin disease. And all over him, he saw Jesus, fell face down and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Reaching out his hand, he touched him, saying, I am willing, be made clean. And what? Immediately, the disease left him. Then ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, and afterward offer what Moses prescribed for your cleansing as a testimony to them. But the news about him spread even more. A large crowd would come together to hear him and be healed in their sickness. Yet he often withdrew in deserted places and prayed. Verse 17. On one of those days, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and also from Jerusalem. And the Lord's, here's the word, power to heal was in him. Let me tell you something. If you don't have the anointing of God upon your life and the power of God upon your life, you can pray all you want, my friend, and nothing's going to happen. Just then, as some man carrying him on the mat, a man who was paralyzed then tried to bring him and set him before him. Since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the mat through the roof tiles into the middle of the crowd before Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to think, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But perceiving their thoughts, Jesus replied to them, why are you thinking this in your hearts? Which it is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk. But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he told the paralytic, I tell you, get up and pick up your mat and go home. Here again, verse 25 again. What does it say? Immediately he got up before him, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Well, then everyone who was astonished, and they were giving glory to God, and they were filled with awe, and said, we have seen incredible things today. You may be seated. So there are a couple of things that we need to look at here this morning and get some applications for you and I before we go home. Okay? It can be in 10 hours, it can be in an hour, whatever it is. But we're going to get some applications this morning. We see a picture of a human brokenness right here. I can't imagine a better picture of a consequences of sin than when you get into the leper in Luke 5. See, it is not that the leper man, you know, it's not that the man is a leper because he has committed some sort of sin. No, sin breaks everything in our lives. But his leprosy because of his sin existed. Now, because sin existed, that's why leprosy was upon this man's life. It's not because he committed any kind of sin, any kind of sin or something like that. The consequence was leprosy. Because at times you do find some people who say that, oh, it's because you have sin, that's why you're having a hard time, or you have diabetes, or you have this. Come on, get real here. It's because of sin that these things are happening. The sin. Remember in the beginning, the kingdom? In the beginning, Adam and Eve, everything was perfect. God created in his own image. There was no death there. There was no sickness. There was health. There was everything. When sin has come, all of a sudden, sickness came. All of a sudden, everything, corruption and brokenness and the lives of people has just come. So we see all sickness is a consequence of this broken world. It is the man. In this man, we not only see a physical brokenness, but also emotional and spiritual aspect of it. In Luke chapter 5, we see that while Jesus is one in the towns, he says, a leprosy went and saw Jesus and fell on us and begged him. And says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, what is leprosy? It is a bacterial infection. If you really do your research on leprosy, you will see that it starts disfiguring the body, making the face, maybe parts of the nose will fall off, maybe the ear will fall off, whatever, you lose your fingers. It is not a good sight to look at. And these are usually people that are isolate themselves. They put them away from people because it is very contagious. It can affect someone. It can have someone and affect someone else's life, and so forth and so forth. Because that's what you see in the scriptures, why it says they departed. They put them away because you don't want them to be affected. So it's even hard to look at. So as parents, they take the little children and they cover their eyes because they might have bad dreams at night, looking how disfigured this person is. That's what kind of sickness it is. So just imagine this physical body is destroyed. He's away from his wife, probably. He's away from his children. He's far away from a distance. And this is the physical body is destroyed. But if we look at his heart, he's even broken. We see that the brokenness of his body, but we also see the brokenness of his heart. Now, don't you think that someone is broken from the outside is not broken from the inside? Because I can't do the same thing. I can't get touched from my kids. I cannot get a hug from my kids. I cannot say, I love you, daddy, because of the sickness has separated them. So they told them to separate them from far away. So it's not a good sight to look at. So the physical body is destroyed, but also the spiritual aspect is broken. The emotion is broken. It destroyed everything about his life, the inside of his life. So he had to do everything. You know, we're going to continue reading the scriptures. You're going to see something interesting over here. His physical was broken, but the emotional was even broken. So we always look at the external aspect of it. But this even, and I can look around here, none of us might not have leprosy here. We don't have it because you wouldn't be here. But we don't have to look at the outside. We got to look at the heart. There's things that we go through every day, and our hearts are broken. In this couple of weeks, and I can tell and I can confess, and I will just say, I will say it because you are what God has placed me to, and I can be like a father to you, and I can be like a brother to you, I can be like a pastor to you. My heart's broken. and I need God to move. My heart's destroyed. Because the enemy, the sin of this world, had made this brokenness and destroyed our hearts. It can be anything that it can happen. It can be a son, it can be a daughter, it can be a spouse, it can be a job, it can be a coworker, it can be finances, it can be anything in life that you broke your heart today. And if you're telling me that you're not, your heart is not broken, give me the recipe. Our hearts are all broken. We're humans. So the priest told him he was a leper, a broken-hearted man, said to the priest, let me go to see my wife and children. Let me say goodbye to him. And he couldn't. The priest probably said, you will never see your wife again, your children again, because of the sickness that you have, this disease that you have on your body. So you had to stay away. So this leprosy, it was just the leper which had to stay away and isolate himself. They were excluded from everyone. So just imagine the brokenness in the person's heart. They cannot offer to go to ceremony, and the rabbi will not have nothing to do with them. Physical, emotional, and spiritual brokenness within this leper. He was defined as a leper. He wasn't defined as so-and-so. He was defined as a leper. Let me ask you, do you like to be defined as someone you're really not? He's defined, oh, here's the leper. Oh, do you like when someone says, oh, here's the thief? Oh, here's this. Oh, here's the guy with the big belly. No, you don't like to be defined as that way. You're defined as so-and-so. So he's defined as a leper. The brokenness just inside his heart. The emotional aspect is destroyed. Not only his body, but also his heart is broken. But I'm going to get excited now because I'm getting to the point. So when this leper went to Jesus and begged him, he said, Lord, if you're willing to come, make me clean. Then this man was looking on both physical and he was looking also at the emotional. He needed Jesus to heal him in both areas of his life. Think about their paralytic now as we continue the story in verses 17 and on. We see that these men, they had this faith. They wanted to bring this man in front of the feet of Jesus. And they went on the rooftop and they removed the tiles and they just placed the mat in front of Jesus' feet. And says, your sins are forgiven. You know the rest of the story. They didn't want to see your sins are forgiven because no one can see the heart. And then Jesus says, okay, pick up your mat and walk. But God, Jesus is concerned about the whole. But what difference is it if he was going to heal the physical body first and then die without Christ? So he was looking for the heart first. So he looks to the heart first. And then because they complain like we all do, he does the miracle. And he says, pick up the mat and walk. And the Bible says, immediately, again, picked up the mat in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. So we look at this now. The paralytic. Now, and when you went to Jesus, when they went there, Jesus did not tell him to leave. He stayed there. And Jesus did what he had to do. Watch this. There was a desperation on the part of these men. That's the key word, the desperation. How desperate are we? They did everything in human power or strength to bring this paralyzed man in front of Jesus. Now, you and I know there are many Christians, not even say Christians, but many people that you and I know who are actually paralyzed spiritually. They're not moving anymore. They are dying without Christ. Now, the thing is, how desperate are we to bring them to Jesus? How desperate are we? Remember, we want everybody to go that we know to go to a place called heaven where there is no more pain, where there's no more suffering, where there's life. Don't we want that? So the desperation of these men did everything in their power to bring these men to Jesus. See, Jesus looks beyond the physical brokenness. He sees the spiritual, emotional, and brokenness. So Jesus thinks about the whole man. He wants the heart first. That's what he wants first, the heart of a person first. So, but Jesus sees the brokenness of the heart today, and he sees our pain. He sees our shame. He sees the need for grace, and what we need is healing today, not only in a physical way, but what I need is a full restoration on my emotional state. And I'm the first to confess that this morning. When I do altar calls, it's not here because I want to count how many people come. Put that in your head, I'm not there for that. Because before I made that altar call, I was at the altar. I was praying and asking to God, forgive me. I was praying for the church. I was praying for some. I was praying for a lot. I was praying for my needs. I was praying for you. So before I do call an altar call, I already have done that. Before I preach, I've already preached to myself. It's not about a show. And at times I know there's people who have a hard time to get out of that chair and says, well, I'm not going to go up there because I don't need prayer. I can pray from my seat. Let me tell you something. As a minister, I'm the first one who goes, and I'm not afraid because I know when you humble yourself before the Lord, when you humble yourself before the Lord, He sees the heart of a person. Now, I don't want people to come here and just to say, oh, we're going to go to the altar because the pastor sees me. But then you know something else? What happens is the funny part. This is like a nugget here. But the Spirit also speaks to me. God speaks to me, so I will see if it's a fake or not. So what happens here? We need healthy, wholeness, completeness. If you're not healthy, you can't function. You can't go ahead. So we'd rather have a wholeness, a fixing my heart first so we can go ahead. Every one of us here, if our heart is broken, it's hard to focus. It's hard to look ahead. It's hard to go look at the next step because you're just all over the place. But when God comes with His love and just covers us and just molds us and melts us and makes us, and then makes us again brand new, you can look at it differently. You can look at it differently and go ahead differently. Jesus heals. Jesus heals a man with leprosy, we see here. And the scripture says this immediately two times, in verse 13 and in verse 25. On both cases, the leper and the paralytic, immediately. Now the question is, think of the beauty of Jesus. He gives back physical health, and then he tells them to go back to the priest. He orders them to tell no one, go, show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifice that Moses commanded from cleansing and the testimony to them. So he will not be able to come back until the priest declares him clean. So what Jesus is saying, your physical body is free. Go ahead. Go back. That's what he said in the scriptures here. Go back to the priest as Moses commanded. And then let them declare you that you're cleansed and clean so you can go back home. Jesus healed them physically, and also Jesus healed them spiritually. Jesus cares about the body, about the soul, and the spirit, the whole of a person. Then think about this. Jesus, what did he do? He stretched out his hand. He stretched out his hand. And remember one thing, no one can touch this man. No one can get close to this man. But Jesus stretched out his hand and he says, what? And Jesus had healed him on the spot. Once, a pastor said this, on the day of leprosy was contagious, but God's grace was. You know, you could have touched it, and you could have been have the same sickness. But Jesus, his grace was more stronger and more powerful than the leper. So he's the one that went there and laid his hand, and there was healing. The grace was more powerful than the leprosy. The grace of God overshadows every bit of brokenness of this man's heart that he had in his life. Not only that Jesus had compassion, not only that he was willing, not only that he has the ability, it is the absolute amazing power of God that is contagious. The great idea of that day is Jesus, of the paralytic, forgave his sins. That was the greater day, that he forgave his sins. He wanted his heart to be, that he could worship him. And everyone was astonished. Everyone was astonished. So this morning I want you just to briefly go into, I'm almost finished, a couple of points. I want to give you three applications here this morning. We spoke about the leprosy, the leper. We spoke about the paralytic, what they had to do. Now we're going to have to look at something else this morning. The complete, they're clean, healthy, absolutely not. Only Christ, when Christ returns, is the only time you and I are going to be completely healed. Only that. They're going to have sickness every day. We're going to pray for something. God's going to heal us. In 6 months from now, you can get an ear infection. We're going to pray again. This is the sin of this world. This is what we're living in. But it doesn't mean that we have to stop. But what happens is people, what do? Is they take theology of God is not the same. So they put their theology of a God that did not respond. But let's take the theology of what God does do instead. Oh, that God just did that in the past, not today. No, he can't heal us today. And we just make a theology on that what he did in the past. No, what God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's base ourselves on that theology, that he's the same, so you can do it. We have a living testimony. Brother Jim is here. God has healed him completely. Completely. No cancer in his system. Because we don't see it, we're not rejoicing. Because we want to rejoice only when an arm is coming back. God has completely healed him. That is when we should rejoice and be grateful and celebrate and be amazed and say, thank you, Lord. Those are the beginning of signs and wonders. Is this the church that believes in signs and wonders? If it's not, I'm not in the right church. Because I do believe in signs and wonders. I do believe in healings, spiritual and physical. Because God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. God is still on the move and still wants to heal as kingdom people. What does that mean for us? The thing that we need to know is this. Point number one. Be confident in God's healing ability. If you can, if you will, you can make me clean, he says there. Are you able? He says, if you will, make me clean. He was confident that Jesus can make him clean. He knew that Christ had the ability to heal him. Even the paralytic man's friend were confident that Jesus would heal him. Yes, New Hope Christian Assembly, God is able to heal today. I put this on Facebook not too long when I will say it with you this morning. Healing is not something that God does. It is who God is. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. The Lord is my healer. That's why we can sing the song, I am the God that healeth. You cannot change the name of God. It's who he is. He is the healer. So why not call upon the name who is Jesus? Why not call upon the healer, Jehovah Rapha? That's his name. He can't change it. You cannot change it. Jehovah Rapha. That's his name. It's like, oh, Robert, that's my name. I can't change that. But one of his names is Jehovah Rapha. His name is the healer. We have to neglect that. Put that aside. No, I'm going to call on that name. We're going to call on that name and believe in the healing and believe in the doctor of doctors as we've done and we're going to continue doing. We're going to continue praying for the sick and we don't stop. But we got to pray with what? With authority and power and anointing by God. We got to believe by the power of God is capable of doing all things. We got to see it ahead of time, seeing what God is already doing and the way God is already healing and God is already transforming. But I'm talking about just the physical aspect. I'm talking about even the spiritual, emotional thing. My heart pumps for souls. And I believe that God will do greater things in this place. I went to, I drop off my wife 6:30 in the morning, and I take the same route every time, and I come back from the same route, and that every day I stop by and I see this people in the middle of the street begging for food or money, whatever it is. And I stop by and I look at them. I just look at that. And I go inside a restaurant, Tim Hortons, wherever I see beside me. Usually it's the Tim Hortons. I go there and I always buy two sets. One for me to fill my belly. And then I take another one and I sit down beside these individuals. I don't even know who they are. But I sit down with them. But there's a trick to it. It's not because I want to do the good deed. But at the same time, when I'm laying it, I says, Lord, the moment he touches this coffee or the moment he touches this bagel, wherever it is, just the anointing of God just be upon him that he can just be transformed instantly. These guys have not even the strength to look at me like this. Because these are people that are not even approachable. Sometimes you don't even want to get close to these people. But Jesus gets close to these people. You know, Jesus got close to the leper. Though many of us will run away, but Jesus went there and he says, I'm coming to you. And because he went to him, healing happened right there. So we just do that, and you just ask, Lord, as he touches that coffee, that's what you got to do, and you walk away. Let him be touched by the anointing of God. Because we got to do what we got to do. We got to preach the word in any way. So he is, that's his name, Jehovah Rapha. You can't change, so we call on that name. Remember that song? I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Believe it right now. Anything that you have, let's sing it together and believe it right now. You will see God will do something great. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. One more time. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. Hallelujah. This is the name of God. He is the doctor of doctors. He is the healer. And you and I cannot change that. That's his name. When we pray, church, hallowed be thy name. Do you know that we are praying for what we're praying for? That's God's name we're praying. Hallowed be thy name. And his name might be displayed on earth so the world can see, let your kingdom come. Jehovah Rapha is one of his names. And we are praying for his name to be made known. We want the healing power in this place today. We want the healing power in this place today. So the first thing we need to look at is the ability of Jesus. He's still able to do those things. The second thing is, we must be confident on God's healing activity. God is still healing people today, all over the world, as he's healed even lives in this place. There is no biblical reason to assume that Jehovah Rapha has gone on vacation. There is no reason to believe that Jehovah Rapha went on retirement. He still heals today. And when we pray with the anointing of God, he still heals today. Our God is still healing broken hearts. He heals the physical. He heals the emotional part. He heals the spiritual part. That's the God that you and I serve this morning. I think at times we see people say, oh, we prayed. Yes, there are times that God did not respond to prayers. We look at in Acts, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Grace is more sufficient to you, he said. My grace is more sufficient to you. God did not heal him. But it doesn't mean we got to stop praying. It doesn't mean that we got to stop praying and believe that God is on retirement. No. It was for him. It was for that plan. It was for that life. But God has something greater for us. I don't think God has placed on his earth just to make us suffer all the time. No. We struggle with this at times. We see faith healers who act like they can heal everybody and go around and they can heal everybody, and then there's a misconception and we have a misunderstanding. Oh, but if he can heal everybody, why doesn't he go into hospitals and raise everybody up from the hospital bed? We ever hear people like that, you know, the faith healers? And then people start to judge these faith healers, or whatever they call it, faith healers, and they go around. It's only God's anointing and power that does those things. It's not in my ability. It's not in your ability. It is only God himself. It's only God himself who can do those things. I quote, he said, believers have a tendency to build theology around what God doesn't do. Oh, God did not do this, or God did not do that. Instead of building our theology on what God does. There is no reason to believe of what he has been doing, he will continue to do until he returns. He will continue. Just because he is not healed for you today, he can do it tomorrow. Just because he's not healed the person you prayed for, doesn't mean that God doesn't want to heal you today. God is sovereign all over all things. So what are we going to do today? We need to walk in these things. We need to pray with authority and power as we believe that he's still able and active to do those things. He's able and is active to do those things. And look at this as the last point here I want to look at. He's approachable. He's approachable. We must be confident. He's approachable. He doesn't say, stay away from me to the leper. He doesn't say to the guy, you disturb me in my Bible teaching when he came down the roof. He was approachable. Jesus is demonstrating that he was approachable. Jesus, the reason he came is for the broken, and wants the broken to come to him. Jesus invites us to go to him. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 5, if is anyone among you in trouble, let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing song of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Now, here it can be a little debate. Sick, people tell me here, you know, sick can be in a spiritual way. But also sick can be in a physical way here. Because some theologians would say it's only the sick of the physical body. I don't care if it's a sick in a physical body or in a spiritual body, whatever it says here. What's important for me is Jesus cares about the whole. We debate on little things like that. He cares about the whole, the spiritual aspect and the physical aspect. So we can't just build a theology on something like that. Then he says, see, this is another case. Let them call the elders to the church and pray over them. I don't want to get too... Like I was saying before, I don't need to go and pray. If you're sick, it tells us, it doesn't say the elders come to you. It doesn't say the pastors come to you. It says, let them go to the elders. That means you got to ask the elders, can you pray for me? That's what it tells us there, no? Or does it tell us the other way around? But we have a hard time. Some people say, oh, I can pray myself. You know something? You're just hurting yourself. Because the key is here. The Bible is here. It's telling us to encourage us. Let them go. So if I'm sick, how many times we were in, you know, we need a trouble or something. We have a situation, a problem, family problem, healing. And we just say, could you pray for me, please? There's nothing wrong for doing that. As a minister, I ask that a daily thing. Please pray for me. I am not ashamed of saying that. I am human just like you. And there are times I get on my knees and says, could you please pray for me and anoint me? There's nothing wrong. I know God will grant the prayers. He says, let them go to the elders and ask them for prayer. and they will just lay their hands on them. The sick person, well, they will make the faith will make the sick person well. So there are a lot of arguments even on verse 14, but everybody don't care what it is. On verse 14, is anyone sick can be spiritual, but we're just going to continue. God worries about the whole aspect of a person. And God is inviting us to go to Him. We need to leave with this here this morning. You will never experience a touch from Jesus spiritually, emotionally, or physically if you don't approach Him. You cannot be saved if you don't ask. You cannot be set free if you don't ask. You cannot be set free from emotionally or situation, spiritually, whatever it is, a brokenness, if you don't ask. Those men, if you look at it, they asked. They knew where to go. They knew that He was still active in doing so. They knew His ability, and they knew that He was a God, a Jesus, that He was approachable to. So we know that He's still active. We know He has the ability to do so. And we know that we can go to Him the way we are because He's approachable. Amen? Isn't He approachable? We can go to Him right now and ask God. So the only way, look at this, I'm going to say it again. Friend, you and I, you will never experience a touch from Jesus spiritually, emotionally, and physically if we don't approach Him. Both men went to Jesus and begged, and Jesus has touched them. And then we go on in verse 26. They were so amazed and praised God. God wants to do extraordinary things spiritually, emotionally, physically, in Jesus' name. Why? So to be exalted. Not men, so His name will be exalted. That's what it is, that His name will be exalted. I want His name to be exalted. I want to exalt Jesus' name. So that I like to take any opportunity to go to God. So when God moves, when God transforms, when God heals, now we bring exaltation to God and we exalt Him for who He is and for what He has done upon our life. So what is it this morning with you? What pain do you have? What work do you need to do in your heart this morning? What guilt do you need to deal with? What shame that you're carrying around? What anger do you have that you have a hard time to deal with? But let me tell you, God is able to bring that kind of healing to you this morning. Even if your broken marriage and your broken heart, God is able to restore it. God is able. We must believe in the ability, and God is still active. And when we call on Him, He's still able to do all those things. Now, I've been hit hard this last couple of weeks. And I know the enemy's not happy with us. But church, be strong. We've looked at it even last week, the oppression. The enemy will do anything to what? To manipulate each other? To use wrong words to hurt each other? He will use lies. Stand on guard. Stand strong. Think positive. Look forward and believe in the power of God. Don't believe in the enemy's lies because he is the father of all lies. Don't believe in him at all. You stay focused and you stay strong and you look ahead because great things are going to happen. Greater things are going to happen in this place. And I believe so. So don't you be surprised when God starts to move in this place. Don't be surprised when the Holy Spirit starts to move. Not just go look around. When the Holy Spirit starts to move, don't just be there and looking and try to take notes and then calling out the pastor and say, what just happened there, pastor? No, get excited in the power of God. Get excited. Things happen when the Holy Spirit starts to move and your heart and your mind is focused on Him, that things are going to happen. You will be shocked. And then you can start writing books and say, wow, the Holy Spirit was amazing today. Instead of looking and just looking, say, what's just happening over here, brothers? I remember when I gave my life to Jesus, and when I seen someone getting up and starting shouting to praise, it was so contagious. I started doing the same thing. Whoa! I get excited. But you know what's more exciting to me? When Jesus touched a soul. Not the physical body. But when Jesus touches and transforms the heart of a person, it changes everything. That's the greatest joy. His name is exalted. But it seems that in churches, it seems at times when we see, oh, that person gave their life to Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And we get, oh, this is good. And then when we see someone, you know, getting healed, oh, there's a joy, a jump, and everything that. But it's the same thing. Isn't the soul important too? That they can go around and even preach the word and go out and do more, greater things. So we got to jump for joy even when there's a soul. We got to jump for joy when someone is in the Spirit of God. We got to jump for joy when someone speaks in tongues. This is a Pentecostal church. We got to jump for joy when God is touching that person's life. But when that God is touching that person's life, just not look at that person and say, oh, she's being touched. You're missing out. You get into it and you start praying God because he's going to touch you. It's you and God. So I'll stand this morning. Remember that statement I said as we conclude? The musicians will come forward. And I know lately I've been doing a lot of altar calls because I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God does great things. Amen? And every time we respond to the call of God with a good attitude, he will do great things. Remember this as they prepare themselves. The question is this here this morning. You will never experience, watch this, a touch from God spiritually, emotionally, or physically if we don't approach him. But how desperate are you for that touch of God this morning? How desperate are you for a touch of God this morning? Yeah. New Hope, do you believe in his ability? Let me see your hands. Amen. We believe in his ability? Yes. Do we believe that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
If so, as we play this song together, if so, approach God's throne this morning because he is approachable.